so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Next one, from Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Then in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. New Testament, Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And the last one from Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This ends our scripture reading.
We have the children come forward.
We have the picture. You can put it up.
Come on up. Come on up, guys. How you doing? Were you able to get the picture up? No. Oh, there we are. Thank you. Okay. See that picture? Who do you think that is? You have any idea? No? None at all? Who do you think the boy is? That little boy? Me. You're right. I haven't changed a bit, have I? Who do you think the girl is? No, it's not. This is my wife. That's Mrs. Grossman. That's not the girl. Who do you think the girl is? Any guess? Not Laura. Actually, I thought it was Laura for a long time until I saw the picture again. Not Laura. Beverly. It's my older sister, Bev, and I actually asked Bev to come today. They're in St. Louis. Otherwise, I would have pulled her up here. That's who? Your brother. Thank you. Well, what do you notice about me? Do I look the same? Do I still have all that hair? No. Is it still blonde? No. My sister got shorter, too, over the years, because now I'm taller than she is. There's a lot of change that happens in life sometimes, and I changed, and I don't look the way I used to look, and I don't talk the way I used to talk, and I changed. Well, I want you to remember one thing today, and one thing only. God does not change. He is the same today as he'll be tomorrow, as he was yesterday, as he'll be forever. And that's it. That's my children's sermon. God, does God change? No. Does he ever change? Never. Come on up here. We'll give you something to eat. Get this out here. You want a treat, buddy? Yes. Here you go. There you go. You're good. You can take two. Go ahead. Yep, treat. You can take one for your sister. Okay. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you. That's very nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You want it back? Here you go. Okay. There you go. Ooh. Thank you. Well, now I hold the record for the longest children's sermon and the shortest. For I, the Lord, do not change. Pray with me, please. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask for your presence right now, not just with me, Lord, but with everybody, Lord. May our minds be cleared, and may your spirit flow, and may the words which you have to speak today be from you, and may they flow through the power of your spirit. Lord, again, we just pray a special blessing on Pastor Bruce as he's on vacation. We thank you for him, Lord God, and we just ask your mercy and blessing on him. Be with us, Lord, and be with me now. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Change. Some is for the better. Some change is for the worse. It's fair to say that change is inevitable. And more often than not, change is most unexpected. In 1859, yes, 1859, there was a young couple who lived in a European country of Hungary. And this Hungarian couple, on August 15th, 1859, gave birth to a daughter. Her name was Mary Anna Badal. And this couple had a dream. They had a vision. They did not want to stay in Hungary. They wanted to come to the United States of America. They wanted to immigrate to America and start a new life. So after Mary Anna was born, they made their way to the ocean, got on a ship, and they were going to set out for the United States of America as immigrants from Hungary with their young daughter, Mary Anna. One of the first things that happened when this couple got on board this ship is they met another couple. And this couple was also on their way to America. Their last name was Weiner. It's interesting because the Badals were Hungarian, and they were Lutheran, Christian Lutheran. The Weiners, I'm not sure where they were from, but they were Jewish. And these two unlikely couples became fast friends when they got on the ship headed for America, because as the Weiners, too, were going to be immigrating to America. Change, often for the better, sometimes for the worse. Could say it's inevitable. More than likely, it's unexpected. Something happened in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on the way to America. The Badals, not Mariana, but the parents, a cholera epidemic broke out on the ship. And in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, both of Mariana's parents died. And they died at sea. And in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, Mariana found herself an orphan on a ship bound for America. Now, a few things happened in the remaining part of that voyage to America. The Weiners, who had become fast friends with the Badals, made two decisions. Decision number one, when they got to America, they're going to adopt Mariana and raise her as their own daughter. The other decision is even a little more astounding, really, because as I mentioned earlier, the Weiners were Jewish. They practiced their Jewish faith. Well, out of deference for the Badals, who were Lutheran, they made a decision that when they got to America, although they would take Mariana as their daughter, they weren't going to raise her in the Jewish faith. They were going to raise her as a Christian. So the Weimers reached America, and they were true to their convictions. And when they got to America, they did adopt Mariana as their daughter. And they moved to the city of Chicago, where they opened a Jewish clothing store. I have no idea what a Jewish clothing store could be. To me, it's a clothing store, but it said it was a Jewish clothing store that they opened in the city of Chicago, Chicago, Illinois. And when Mariana was old enough, the Weiners would bring Marianne to a Lutheran church where she went to Sunday school, was raised in the Lutheran faith, worshiped at that church, was confirmed in the Lutheran faith. And indeed, Mariana grew up to be a Christian and grew up to be a Lutheran in the city of Chicago. Change. Sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's not. It's inevitable, and often it's very unexpected. Well, more change was coming into Mariana's life because, you see, I don't know the exact address that the Weiners lived on in Chicago, the street address, but I do know the exact address of the house across the road from the Weiners. It was 137 DeCoven Street. Anybody know what that address is? That is the house of the O'Learys. Remember the cow that knocked over the lantern that burned down the city of Chicago? Across the street from the Weiners, where Mariana grew up. And the Weiners and Mariana watched the city of Chicago burn to the ground when that fire broke out, the Great Chicago Fire. And they lived through that. More change would come Mariana's way. A little later on, she would meet a man. His name was Hugo Heinichen, Jr. He was kind of a colorful guy. He also ended up immigrating to the United States, but not the way most people would. He was a merchant in the German merchants, merchant marines. He was a German merchant marine. And when they were in port in the United States, he went AWOL, he jumped ship, applied for citizenship, and became a citizen of the United States of America. And he too moved to Chicago, where he met Mariana. And in 1880, Mariana and Hugo Heinichen were married. Change, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Change is inevitable, very unexpected. So Mariana and Hugo started their life together. And over the next 17 years, they would have 9 children. Kind of unheard of these days. They would have 9 children. But that's not the all of it. On April 1st, 1883, Mary had a son. And on July 8th, 1884, at the age of 1 year and 3 months, that son died. Later on in life, Mary's other son, at the age of 21, would also die. Mary had another daughter. Her name was Esther. Esther lived for less than 7 months, and she died. Mary was 36 years old at that time. And 1 year later, on November 23rd, 1896, Mary gave birth to twins. The one girl named Maria, she died at birth. The other son lived. His name was Luther Heinichen. Luther Heinichen is my grandfather. Marianne Badal Heinichen is my great-grandma. You talk about somebody who lived through change in her life. She was born in Hungary. She was orphaned in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, adopted by a Jewish couple, raised as a Lutheran, witnessed the burning and the rebuilding of Chicago, born in an era of horse and buggy that took her right into the Industrial Revolution, became a mother 9 times, buried 4 of her children, lived through the World War I years, to see the dawning of the Roaring Twenties, where on January 23rd, 1923, Mary Anna Badal Heinichen died at the age of 64. Change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not. You could say it's inevitable, and it can be very, very unexpected. Good change. Mariana came to America. New life, new opportunity. Bad change. Her parents died at sea. Good change. She was immediately adopted by a loving couple. Bad change. The people who adopted her weren't Christian. Good change. For some strange, bizarre reason, this Jewish couple decided to raise her as a Christian. Good change. She had a very comfortable life in Chicago before the fire. Bad change. City burned down. Good change, she got married, found a husband and had kids. Bad change, she had to bury 4 of her 9 children in her lifetime. Good change, she lived in an era of changing technology, She gave her both economic security and the new comforts of life. Bad change. This new technology invented new ways for men to kill themselves, and she witnessed her country get sucked into a worldwide war. So what exactly carries someone through that kind of change? What can possibly keep someone together as they experience these things? Perhaps the answer is that which does not change. And that would be our God, who does not change regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the era, regardless of what you're going through. God does not, will not, cannot change. The God who was with Mary Anna in Hungary was the same God with her in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, who cared for her when her parents died, who saw to it that a couple adopted her, and saw to it that she was raised in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, risen Lord and Savior. This is the same God who saw her through the burning of Chicago and the death of her four children. That God never changed. Malachi 3:6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Of course he will. God always has, God always does, God always will. God does not change. It was funny, all those scripture verses, when I emailed them over, they got to Tom. He sent me a text. He goes, "You really want me to read all five?" And I said, yeah, I really do. You know what? Google it sometime. Google, does God change? You're going to have hundreds of scripture verses you can choose from. God makes a point throughout all of the written scriptures. He does not change. God does not change. And we have the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And guess what? That does not change. Now, as I mentioned earlier, my grandparents were married, and that date actually was February 2nd, 1918. Yes, Sue, it was Groundhog's Day. That is a special day for Sue Tibbetts, in case you guys don't know. February 2nd, 1918, they were married. And on the date of their marriage, on the day they were married, there was a Bible that was presented to my daughter, Lillian Heineschen, by your father, Henry J. Coomer, dated February 2nd, 1918. Here it is. This Bible was given to my grandma on February 2nd, 1918. I've checked it. Guess what? The word in here, although it's King James, and it might be a little more difficult to read, but I want to tell you something. It has not changed. In 100 years, this word is as valid, and it's the same in 2018 as it was in 1908 when they were married. 1918 when they were married. Thank you, Kim. The word of God does not change. It has not changed. We have more evidence of this that we can hang our hat on. In 1946 and 1947, and again in 1956, there was a discovery made in the Qumran Caves east of Jerusalem down toward the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea Scrolls. You may have heard of them. This is in the West Bank of Israel. What these discoveries were fragments of religious writings that included many Hebrew scriptures. But one of the most significant findings of the Dead Sea Scroll that those Bedouins left in the Qumran Caves was that of the Isaiah scroll, which they found intact the entire book of Isaiah. And to their astonishment, they estimated that this dated back to 346 BC, 346 years before Jesus Christ was born and came on this earth as man anyhow. They estimated that's when these writings by a scribe were put in these jars in these caves. You know what they found out about the book of Isaiah? That book of Isaiah read the same way in 1946 47 as it did in 346 BC. It didn't change. There is authenticity to the Word of God we've been given. It does not change. It's the same today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and that Word does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to change. God doesn't change. Do you know how important it is that God doesn't change? Do you know what our life would be like if God would change? I want you to imagine for a second if God changed, if values change, if the way of salvation changed. Where would that leave you? I reckon it to this. You're driving down the road, you're in your car, you're going along, and all of a sudden there's red lights going behind you. You have no idea why you're being pulled over. And they pull you over and they say, do you know why I pulled you over? Say, honestly, I have no idea. Why did you pull me? Well, you ran the traffic light back there. What do you mean I ran the traffic light? The light was green. Yeah, I know. You were supposed to stop. What do you mean I was supposed to stop? Green isn't stop, green is go. No, green used to be go, but now it's stop. Red is go. What are you talking about? Well, it changed. It's not the same as it used to be. You imagine the chaos in life if changes happened like that? If God changed? If God decided that, you know what? I changed my mind. Jesus, he didn't cover your sins. You need to do something different. What about if God's values or morals changed? How do we possibly live a life in truth if we don't know what truth is? But God gave us his written word that is truth, that is accurate, that is inspired, and God breathed, and guess what? It doesn't change. But here's the challenge. We live in a world where values and morals, what was once red is now green, and what was once green is now red. And bad enough that what I grew up with in 1960 has changed in 2018. But it's even worse because your kids can come home from school and say, hey, Dad, I don't get it because what you're telling me is wrong. My friend goes to a Lutheran church down the road. They say it's not. And all of a sudden the church isn't the church. Values aren't the values. Things are compromised. Things are changed. We have the Word of God as our anchor and standard. It hasn't changed, but there are those who say it has. There are those who said, look, what God has written in the Old Testament can't really stand today. I mean, come on. If you turn to Leviticus 20 and you see the list of sins and the punishments given out for those sins, you'd be astounded at what God said to do to people who sinned. Now, I chose one that I'm going to talk about. This is from Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Really? I curse my father or my mother, and the punishment is to be put to death? No, that can't be right. God can't really mean that anymore, can he? I mean, we obviously don't do that in our society. We'd have a lot of dead people, wouldn't we? Unfortunately, that is the truth. Has God's word changed? Is the punishment for cursing your mother and father no longer death? Matthew 5:17, Jesus himself said, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now we learn that in Ephesians 2:15, there is only one way in which the law can be abolished. And that is when the law was abolished in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Guess what? When I curse my father or I curse my mother, there was a death that resulted from that. But I wasn't the one put to death. Jesus Christ was hung on the cross in my place, and he was put to death because I cursed my father or my mother. The law has not changed. The punishment has not changed. It's just been fulfilled. And that punishment is now put on Christ and not on me. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, as he is tomorrow. And he will not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Nor does God's promise of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ ever change. It's intact. That's still the way we're saved. There is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. There is no other way to salvation. It is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, and through the power of the Father, his resurrection, that we are given new life and salvation. And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 6:19. Never going to be taken away. It's never going to change. It is to Jesus Christ to whom we are tethered and we are anchored. He will hold us secure in any hurricane that may come against us. And Jesus Christ does not change. Now, I rejoice that our salvation is secure, but there is a scripture verse that I hang on to in my life, and I'm hoping you can hang on in yours. It comes from Acts 27:29. This is the end of a story where Paul is being transported to Rome to stand trial. They get in a storm, and he's about to get shipwrecked, right? In Acts 27:29, fearing we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Think about that picture. They are in a tempest of a storm. They are about to get crushed. And they throw out four anchors and they hold firm and they pray for daylight. They pray for salvation and they're trusting. All their hope, all their trust is in four anchors off the stern of their boat to keep them from being destroyed up on the rocks. What a picture of what life is to be anchored in Jesus Christ through all life circumstances. Parents may die. I'm anchored praying for daylight. The city could burn, but I'm anchored, and tomorrow will dawn. I might bury my children, but I'm not going to be the one dashed against the rocks. My God will hold firm. My anchor is Christ, will see me to the end, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Change. Sometimes for the better, often for the worse. Change is inevitable, and yes, it is unexpected. We all have experienced much change in our life, but I tell you this, there's more change coming. It's not over. It's never over. Change always comes. Some change is good. God requires change of us, our heart to be changed more toward him and like him, more toward the likeness of Jesus. But the other change that comes into our life, we need not fear it. We are anchored in Jesus Christ. What could possibly come against us that Christ will not hold firm? Whatever comes into our life, Jesus Christ will be there, and he doesn't change. Jesus is our answer to change. He's the anchor for our soul. He's the anchor through all life's storms. He's unchanging. He is the unchanging Word of God. And Jesus Christ, he gave us his unchanging word and holy scriptures. Those scriptures are our guide and our compass and our standard that we can use to measure all things and all truth and to render judgment and to examine our own hearts. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will last forever. Amen.